Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. What's up, legends? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. Today, I've got a special guest with me here in the very professional studio, which is also known as The Office. We've got the professional sign up on the door that I've written a couple of months ago. It's got heaps of rips in it, but hopefully it works. But today I am joined by women's health professional Holly Sinclair. So Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, firstly, we don't really know each other from a bar of soap, as I said before, but that's what we're going to use today's interview to kind of...
It's the best way to get to know someone.
It is. It flows a lot better, I reckon. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. And then also kind of go into a bit more detail about just what women's health professional actually means and what areas you kind of work in, I guess, or what you kind of do.
Yeah, so I run two businesses. One is called the Women's Series. So I guess, as the name suggests, it's for women and women's health.
Dead giveaway,
yeah. And then the other business is called CrossCoders Sport, which is a global program designed to help women get into professional sporting codes.
Okay.
So I've got partnerships with AFLW, Rugby Victoria. I work alongside Tennis Australia. So I help all of the female athletes better understand their body and really like work with things like their menstrual cycle and understanding nutrition around it and all that sort of stuff.
Right. And so if you were to narrow it right down, what do you think, what is like the best way, like what is like one sentence that would explain exactly what you do?
Women's health and wellness coach.
Right. And what was the initial reason you got into this kind of field in the first place? Like, what motivated you to step into this space?
Well, I've been in the industry for 14 years, working as a trainer, sort of did my dash in the corporate gyms and then came up through the boutique gyms. And I just organically moved into the women's health space, I guess, because like, as you would know, there's a lot of women that come to the gym and like more women than men, I feel, pay for training a lot of the time. So yeah, I just started moving into that space, learning about women's health. And I guess like being a woman myself, it's really helped the process of being able to coach someone properly.
And what does that look like? So when you're coaching someone, what are some of the, I guess, I don't know if issues is the best word to use, but what are some of the things that you would work through? What's like a common, issue that you would work through?
I think a lot of women don't really understand, because we're not taught to understand our bodies properly. You know, I work a lot in sort of helping women understand that their body is, you know, you're not meant to have painful periods. You're meant to have a cycle that comes every sort of 25 to 35 days. You know, and also I think women aren't really instilled with a lot of resilience.
Okay.
And so helping women understand that not only is it about strengthening your body, but it's about strengthening your mind and becoming like, can I swear?
Fuck yeah.
Like a badass motherfucker, right? And like playing at the same level of the boys, but still being feminine and, you know, having all of those traits of a woman. So I guess that's kind of like really what I try to instill in my clients.
Right. And I guess what areas do you, of women's health, especially in, probably more particularly in sport or within like the athletic side of things, what areas do you see at the moment are an issue, and what areas do you see doing well or have improved or that you're kind of proud of or happy about?
I think like if we're talking about sporting codes, probably the biggest issues at the moment is that all of the research done for athletes is done on men.
Okay.
So, you know, we look at the AFLW as an example, and they've got all of these injuries, right, especially knee injuries.
A lot of ACLs,
right? Because women have Q angles, so our hips are internally rotated. But all of their preseason training is done based off research for men. So that's probably the biggest limitation at the moment. But I reckon that'll change as the industries grow.
Yeah.
And then I guess on the flip side of that is the level of support that's been put into women's sport is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right? Like the fact that the AFLW, it's not there yet. Like I feel like it should be running at the same season time as the men's.
Mm.
But, you know, it is really heavily supported by the media.
Yeah.
So that's probably the flip side to that whole industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done a bit of work with a few girls from AFLW, the main one being Katie Brennan, and she's awesome, and she says a very similar thing. Like, she's pumped with how much support there's been and how much how quickly it's grown. It's pretty insane how...
It's crazy.
How quickly it's grown.
I was at a...
Even where it, like, started, to be honest, like...
Yeah.
For it to start so well.
Yeah, I was at a event earlier this year, and they were saying that they've had an increase of 600,000 kids into like AusKick and AFL since the AFLW started.
Yeah,
so that just goes to show like how much, you know, it's positively impacted not just young women, but kids in general, I think,
Get
into the league, yeah.
And then when we were chatting just in our little Instagram message yesterday, you were mentioning, so, like, you work with some professional athletes, so it's not just, I'm assuming it's not just footballers, like, what other areas do you kind of work in?
I work with Rugby Vic.
Yeah.
So CrossCoders has just partnered with them. So basically, my business, CrossCoders, what we do is we place international talent into sporting codes. A lot of our girls come out of GA, so Gaelic football, out of Ireland. And I'm just trying to sort of move into the more rural and indigenous communities as well. So a lot of the girls go into Rugby Vic now. So I'm starting to work with that side of things, which is tough for me because now I've got to learn rugby.
Yeah, okay.
Like growing up in Victoria, man, I don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, neither.
Do you?
No. Just run into each other.
Yeah, but like I went and saw one of the girls' games. Man, they hit like hard.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, cool.
I'm just in negotiations at the moment to head up to Sydney with Tennis Australia and work with the top 100 girls there.
Awesome. And so it's not just bringing international players.
No.
So you are working with like Australian athletes
Yeah, definitely. Like one of my clients, Taylor Harris, she plays for Carlton.
Okay.
And she's number 7th in the world now for boxing. So, you know, I get to see that side of the sporting code as well. And
I think that's the interesting thing I find anyway about AFLW. Like you said before, you would like to see the season be the same length.
Mm.
I think at the moment, because it's not, you still are getting to see like some athletes that are still playing like two sports or are still doing two different things, which is pretty cool to see. Like, I remember watching, not really watching a lot, but like, as I was mentioning before, I'm a big basketball fan and used to play a lot of it myself. So like I'd go and watch the NBL, and at the time there'd be games, we'd go and watch like Adelaide 36ers, for example, and the women would be on before it, and Erin Phillips would be playing then, and she was like an absolute gun. I've actually got a photo with her when I was younger, from the basketball.
Awesome.
She was an absolute weapon of an athlete then, so it's so cool to then go and see her now playing.
Yeah, because you do know the story about Ash Barty?
Yeah, briefly, do you want to talk about it now for those who don't know?
She obviously just won the French Open, which is amazing, but she pulled back from tennis. My understanding is that she just took a bit of a mental health hiatus.
Okay.
And she actually moved into cricket.
Yeah.
And she played, what's the fast-paced cricket?
Big Bash.
Yeah. She played with cricket for 18 months, did really well. And then sort of obviously stayed connected to some of the girls she'd previously played with, like Casey Delacqua and so forth. And they brought her back into tennis and, you know, 3 years on, she's just won this Grand Slam. So,
insane. She's only 23.
Oh, it's phenomenal. But that just goes to show, like, women do have more of a luxury to sort of move into different sporting codes because of the fact that their seasons aren't as long as the men's at the moment.
Yeah. Do you reckon, so with AFLW obviously in particular, do you reckon that's an issue? The fact that because the season is quite short and then the rest of the year they may be going off and doing something else, do you reckon the standard can improve as quickly if... Say, for example, the guys, like, they're spending a lot longer playing, and then the off-season, they've probably still got a ball in their hands, or it's quite a short off-season, and they're straight back into it. So do you reckon it's an issue at all?
I think the biggest problem there, like, the limitation is going to be that they don't get paid.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just not going to attract awesome talent into something where you're not really getting paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the thing is with the men, like, they finish their season. They don't have to go do a 9-to-5 job to make ends meet. So they've got the luxury to sleep, eat well, train well, do all that sort of stuff. so yeah, I just think the only limitation there is the pay bracket, to be honest.
Yeah.
And also, like, it just hasn't been around long enough. So as we, like, move through the seasons, you'll see better and better talent coming through.
Yeah. Or the, I guess, like, the bottom end players are going to improve, so the average is going to be better.
Exactly.
And better and better.
Yeah.
I think, like you said before, with more juniors now joining programs, you'd think, say, 10 years time, the standard will be
way better than
what it is now, because you've got, like, people that have actually been developing from a younger age. Whereas at the moment, you see a lot of, like, some of the girls have never played footy before.
Most haven't.
Unreal athletes, and then there's grab
footy.
Who's
the girl that plays for Collingwood? Shani? Is that her name? She used to be a professional netballer.
Yeah, right. I'm not too sure.
But, like, that would be a great example of it, yeah.
Just really good athletes that have been taught to kick footy and handball.
Yeah, pretty much,
it'd be interesting. It's definitely exciting. So with women's health, what do you think are some of, I guess, the biggest misconceptions or problems?
Ooh. Yeah, I think women don't understand their bodies well.
Yeah.
I think where some of the biggest misconceptions is that, like, for me, like, if we look at, like, a really taboo topic, like contraception or the pill, because that's sort of, like, you know, talked about a lot in the women's health community. Initially, that was definitely done in support of women's rights, okay? So in the 60s, the pill came out and everyone was like, this is amazing, I can have a career, I don't have to get pregnant, that sort of stuff, right? But then, because we didn't have the science to really understand what those sorts of medications can do to the body, 40 years later, we're now starting to see the side effects of what it can actually do to the female body. And so now I don't think it's in favor of women's health, because, you know, it severely robs our bodies of B vitamins. It's linked to yeast overgrowths. It's linked to infertility, which is the irony. You know, so mental health issues, all of these sorts of things. That really, is that still in favor of women's health? I don't know. I don't think so. So I think, like, one of the biggest misconceptions is those aspects.
Yeah.
In terms of, we've been led to believe that these are, like, in favor of women, but I don't actually think it is.
Right.
And, like, if you flip that, if you sort of have the whole, like, you know, feminism conversation, if you look at contraception, well, women are only fertile 4 days of the month. So, and a man is fertile every day. So why are we the ones that have to wear the consequence to our health when it comes to contraception, right? So the FDA actually did do a men's contraceptive trial.
Right.
They looked at 320, they tested 320 men.
Yeah.
And it was a syringe, it was an injection. And it had a 97% success rate. But 20% of the candidates of the trial complained of, like, sore injection site, like, they might got a bit of a fever. So they canned the trial.
Right.
Right? Now, if you look at the contraceptive for women, okay, when they were going through the pill, 3 women died during the trial, okay? And 15%...
The trial of the pill.
Yeah, and 15% of
this
women...
This is in, what, the 60s,
in
though?
The 60s, had, like, extreme side effects. Like, I'm talking, like, terrible mental health, anxiety, all sorts of stuff. And we're still using it 40 years on. So for me, I'm like, that is definitely not in favour of women's rights at all, considering that trial for men was done only last year.
Yeah.
Or the year before. So, I don't know, I think that's probably the biggest misconception, that women have to use these types of things. Where you, like, you know, if you want to, great. Like, but make an informed decision. Understand what it does to your body. And especially in the realms of health and wellness, and particularly, like, body composition results, it's really going to start impacting a lot of those things. You know, I'm not sure if you've ever dealt with it with female clients, but it's tough to get lean if you're using things like the pill and Mirena and stuff. So, I think that's probably one of the biggest issues at the moment.
Right. And you mentioned at the start, obviously, you're a trainer yourself, strength coach. So what I talk a lot on the show about like lifting, like strength training for females and the benefits of it. So I'm assuming you yourself have done plenty of strength training in your exercising or
my career.
Lifting career, I guess you could call it. So what are some of the benefits that you've seen, and like, is it something that you try and recommend females to try if they haven't before? Like a lot of the questions or I guess concerns that I get from girls that haven't lifted weights before is the typical like,
get bulky.
I'm going to get too big and bulky, or I don't want to get manly and all this type of stuff. So what's your
okay, well, there's a few things there, right? So the biggest benefit, I think, to women lifting weights is that you're building resilience. So if you're getting under 60 kilos on the bar, like, that's tough, right? So you're building internal resilience. That's so good for your coping mechanisms and your ability
confidence
to
self-confidence
and like taking on life, you know. So that's the biggest plus from my end. I mean, there's so many biochemical reactions that happen as well, but like, if women are talking about getting bulky, that's not so when you weight train, you obviously have an acute amount of inflammation that happens. And then if you go away and eat poorly, so if you eat pro-inflammatory foods, then you're going to stay inflamed. And then, you're going to look bulky.
Yeah.
So if your nutrition isn't on point, that's more likely likely to lead to a bulky composition than the weight training.
Exactly right.
Do you know what I mean? But I don't think people understand that very well.
No. And you can see, in a way, you can see how girls would think that, especially when typically when you think of weights and strength training, like the first thing you would think is probably more so male dominant. But yeah, that's an area that I've really, really enjoyed over the past however many years I've been a trainer now, is introducing girls to strength training and seeing not only the physical benefits that they see, but probably more so the mental,
mental
aspect of it, that just, it's crazy, the confidence, like self-esteem, like just, and like you said, like all of a sudden you've got, and the results as well, like it's fucked how insane you can change your physique completely.
Oh, it's mental.
And see that, you know, like that definition and fat loss results that a lot of females want, but at the moment they're just on the Stairmaster or the cross trainer wasting their time.
With a booty band.
Yeah, fuck, a walking sideways on a step, I don't fucking get me started on.
But the thing is as well, like women, you know, like girls listening, we lack a very, very important hormone, which is testosterone.
Yeah.
Like, we, like, to understand how to get to, like, you've done physique training in the past, like, so to get to the level of a bodybuilder physique, like, these girls are using performance-enhancing steroids.
Oh, yeah.
Fact, right?
Yeah. So, like, just before you keep going, so you're saying at the moment, for those that are listening, if you're thinking of a female that looks like they're 100%. Absolutely jacked, this is what Holly's talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if they look jacked, they literally are jacked.
Yeah.
Like, they are.
With anabolics.
With anabolics. Yeah. They are eating, like, at least 3,000 calories a day. And they are training like a fucking crazy person, right? To get to that level, it's just not going to happen for a general pop. You know, like, I don't know how you sort of do it with the uploads of the podcast, but like, for anyone listening, I'm 56 kilos. I weight train like 6 times a week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I was talking to someone about this the other day. Like, I've got a few female clients, or a number of them now, that when they came to me, all they did was cardio, and they would never even like consider doing weights. Now it's like the opposite. Every time I mention we're doing conditioning, they're just like, they don't want to do any cardio.
It's like when do you reverse diet your clients at all?
Yeah.
So it's like when you first start that reverse dieting process with
biggest
clients.
Biggest head fuck,
right? But then you get them all the way to base, and then you go, okay, it's time to start putting you in a deficit, and they're like, are you serious? And you're thinking, this is more than what you started at.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So you can change your perception so, so quickly.
100%. I agree. But like, no, I'm glad that that's your kind of view on strength training.
Yeah. And I think also, like, before we started the podcast, we were both talking about how we're potentially fighting this year in boxing.
Yeah.
Did I just launch that for you?
Threw me under the bus.
So I think, like, doing some form of, like, mixed martial arts or boxing or, you know, something with a bit of grit and tenacity is really good for women as well, you know?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So I was looking through your Instagram yesterday and some of the posts that you put up and stuff, and I'm assuming you would get a number of DMs from girls like that asking you specific questions. So just give us a few examples of some of like the day-to-day conversations or questions that you may get.
Well, that's a really good question. I get sent a lot of blood work.
Okay.
In my DMs. Can you look at my bloods? Can you tell me what's going on?
Yeah.
So that happens a lot. But yeah, I get a lot of questions. Like I get questions about, you know, girls will tell me about what's happening with their period a lot of the time, or
nice.
Yeah. you know, or their mental health. Mental health is a big thing. And also like when they should train, how to train around their cycle. That's a really common question.
Okay.
Because I do that with a lot of my female clients. Like obviously you have to have a natural cycle. You can't do that on contraception, but yeah, once we get them to a natural cycle, looking at doing more strength training in the first 2 weeks because you're more anabolic, you've got more estradiol in your body, which for women is our anabolic steroid. And then in the second 2 weeks, because our progesterone's higher, looking at introducing things like HIIT training and more hypertrophy and more volume and stuff, because progesterone is obviously very fat burning.
Yeah.
So utilizing our natural hormones to, I guess, get the best result for the individual.
Yeah, perfect.
That's probably the most amount of questions that I get. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually do get a lot of trainers. I mentor a lot of trainers at the moment. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's really awesome, actually. It's awesome to see where the industry's going.
Yeah.
Because there's people out
definitely
there
starting to head in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, and like people really want to know how to help people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely invest in a coach who you know is investing in themselves. That's probably what I'd
say. Yeah, without a doubt. Now, before we wrap things up, and I'll ask you to share like all your socials and your website and stuff soon, but I'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
What's for probably more so for the females that are listening today? What's one thing that you would hope that they'd take away from the show, or one thing that you hope that they would understand? I guess
about women's health.
Yeah.
Do you want to just wait till they? We've just had a visitor in the podcast studio. I guess like the biggest thing for me is I just want women to know, like, you can do it. Like you can, you know, you can be a boss, you can be badass, you can like achieve all of these things and feel really good. And none of that requires being, you know, in a deficit, you know, restricting your calories. That's not living. Like that is not why we were put on this earth at all. You know, we were put here to thrive and have abundance. So for me, that's the main message that I want to get across to my clients and my audience is, you know, life should be well lived, right? You know, and like eat.
Yeah.
Eat.
Yeah.
And train. And like you're training. Like for me, I don't know about you, but I used to do a lot of cardio back in the day.
I used to do shitloads.
Did you?
Yeah.
Man, my body fucking hated it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I remember I used to finish, like, 10Ks and my hips would be throbbing and, you know, like, that's not living.
Yeah. I know, there's a lot of people and I often compare, you know, exercising to jobs.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people training and, like, their way of training and what they're doing for work, they fucking hate. But they continue to do it because they think that they need to do it.
Yes.
Oh, that's the only way.
Yes.
When there's so many other ways to go about it to achieve the same result, which in the end of the day, everyone just wants to feel good and be happy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And like the thing is, it radiates to all aspects of your life. So if you're, I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but if you're not like internally happy with yourself and loving yourself, it's going to be really hard to attract good people into your life. It's going to be hard to get the job of your dreams.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. It's an energetic field that you start to create for yourself that shifts the trajectory of your life.
Yeah,
you know? So, 100%.
And also that energy then flows onto those around you as well. It's hard to make, especially if you've got someone that you're close to, you've got a partner or whatever, it's hard to then make them feel the right way.
Yeah.
If you can't even make yourself feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, there'll be moments where I'm sure you've experienced it, I've experienced on the journey of becoming like the best version of yourself, you got to cut the cord on some people, you know, like there are, I talked about this with a friend of mine the other day, like, yeah, there's inflammatory foods, but there's also inflammatory people,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and they are actually going to get in the way of you getting a result for yourself. Mm. Because a result is not just body comp. Body comp is the end result
yeah.
of changing your health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at all of those aspects of your life is really important.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun.
Thanks. Well, we had a few visitors during the
yeah,
podcast.
It was good. Yeah, we keep it raw here. We just see what happens. Just set up anywhere and then just see how we go. Do you want to tell the listeners where they can find more of your content or get in touch with you?
Yeah.
I'll have those links in the show notes, as I mentioned.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, as always, the Women Series. And then you can jump on my website where I do run online memberships and subscriptions. And that's just thewomenseries.com.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Holly, thanks for coming and joining the Fitness and Lifestyle podcast today. Guys, if you've enjoyed today's episode, which I'm sure you have, please do take a screenshot of the episode and within the next 30 seconds, post it up on Instagram story, tag myself, tag Holly. We'd love to get some feedback on the show. So thanks again, and we'll hope to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks for
sometime
having me.
Soon.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed already, please do. And look forward to chatting to you again in next week's episode.